Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
The Blue Collar BS podcast helps blue collar business owners like you build a business that'll thrive for decades to come by turning that blue collar BS into some blue collar business solutions.
In today's episode, you're going to learn about embracing technology, breaking down how you can find your customer, being yourself pays off, and ultimately finding your passion creates success.
Our guest today is Nick Packard, a disruptive marketing want-to-be Gen X, is creating opportunity for all generations to learn. We hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome back to the show, Brad Herta. How are you doing, my friend?
I am fantastic, Mr. Stephen Doyle. How is that construction job site at your mom's house going today?
Well, it's the never-ending job site, especially when it's family members. This thing has been under construction for 43 years now. Actually, wait, nope. I am 46, so it's been under construction for 48 years.
Perfect. Why start now? Why worry
Why
about finishing
Why stop now? Now? Why stop now? Let's just, maybe we'll add a new addition on. Why not? Let's blow out some more walls. It's great. Why not? And we just took delivery of a countertop today. So, we'll see how it goes.
I'm looking forward to seeing those pictures from one of our previous guests to see how that turned out. Hopefully everything arrived accordingly.
Yep, absolutely. So Brad, who do we have on the show today?
We have our first internet famous star with us today.
What?
On the show. Yes, believe it or not, we have Mr. Nick Packard. According to his bio, here's his bio. I've been called a lot of things in my life, from the tall guy to the pass me a beer guy, the marketing dude, a business coach, a fractional CMO, a business architect. But most importantly, I'm a dad. I'm a mission-driven serial entrepreneur who believes in family first and at elevating the people around him. When I'm not coaching kids sports and exploring the country, you always find me working with companies around the world to improve their profitability through coaching and marketing. Love what I do for a living and truly believe that I haven't worked a day in my life since starting his business 14 years ago. So I got to meet him through some networking events here locally. He is a Wisconsin guy. And Mr. Packard, we welcome you to Blue Collar BS. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
It's all good.
So Nick, before I forget, and Brad reminds me, which generation do you best fit in with?
We were just having this argument. I'm a border state, but I was born in 80. So according to your rules, I'm a millennial.
Brad sets these weird rules and starts chucking everybody into the millennial.
There's data. There's data out there. There's data.
That's who I identify with. That's what I got to figure out.
Right.
Right. It's 2024, so be careful.
Yeah. Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But yes, it's a border state for sure. 1980s, that's crossover. And we understand. We understand you don't like the one word that you belong to. Steve doesn't like his words either, so it's okay.
Oh. Okay. Okay. So Nick, tell us a little bit about the journey that you've been on. It was quite the introduction. So tell us, how'd you get to where you are now?
Chasing my passion and being confronted with really bad leaders, to be honest with you, because, I took a career path and everywhere I went, I kept saying, slow down, or, I kept telling me, slow down, don't do this. You're meant for this. And they, telling me what I was meant to do. And that's kind of what pushed me to really chase what I was passionate about. And so, that's the short version of it, I guess.
So you were passionate about passing a beer? That's what your passion was?
I love passing. Yeah. So, the passing beer thing, it started as a joke, right? We wanted to be internet famous 20 some years ago before there was anything. And so we made these stupid videos and they took off on us to a point of that's kind of how people know me 20 years later, which is awesome. I feel cool that I did that, but honestly, that led to a video career for us where we started making videos and videos were never enough because the videos were great, but we didn't see any sales boosts. We didn't see this. And so then was like, okay, there's more to marketing than just videos. And so that kind of jump-started the understanding of like, there's a bigger picture involved and I want to be a part of that.
That's cool. So as you've gone through your journey as you have created that opportunity to learn, because you're kind of in that sweet spot of that middle ground of both being able to understand old guys like myself and understand younger people than you.
Boomers.
Right. Sure. Whatever, man. You can do whatever you want. It's okay. There's not one statistic that'll put 1967 into the boomer category. So it's okay, Steve. Not that I can find, unless you make one up somewhere. But anyhow.
As you've
had to address those messages and learn those things, how can a organization, a blue collar business, attract or target those particular buyers differently today? Because their buying habits have changed differently for sure.
Yeah. You know, I think part of it's embracing technology. A lot of it's embracing just a different way of thinking, right? Because I think the younger generations think so much differently than them, and how they approach work and the balance of life, you know, family life versus work life. I mean, there's so many things that you have to take account for, I think.
Okay. You want to elaborate on some of that?
Yeah. You
witnessed differences you've experienced in order to get clients through their journey.
Yeah. So clients, it's really embracing technology. I think the older generations, to me, they're very stuck in their ways. They're very, you know, like, this is how we've done it for 50 years and we don't want to change. Right. And I think there's some truth to that. And I think the principles in which they built their business on are absolutely, you know, they are important, but how to incorporate technology, how to incorporate new ideas, how to think outside the box, or, you know, just the realization of, like, the core of your business was built on this great premise, but 50 years later that it's changed, right? The world has changed and evolved, and younger generations are now your buyers. And so how are you going to approach them differently? How are you going to message them differently? And how are you going to give them a platform to buy on that suits their needs versus your needs?
Right. So how can you give us, like, a specific example? Don't name names though. Give us a specific example of somebody that's has a very quote unquote experienced business that was resisting change. So can you kind of elaborate? Yes. The reason, like, why were they resisting change, and how did you help them overcome that change and the results they got?
Yeah. So we'll just call it a manufacturing company.
Perfect.
And I'll just say perfect. That.
Great. That's who we're targeting. Awesome.
We did it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Nick. So for them, yeah, it was really about their sales and marketing and developing an understanding of how to utilize different tools. You know, the going door to door model versus, you know, the in person stuff versus how to utilize LinkedIn. And I think, you know, they were very hesitant because they're like, I don't want to share my thoughts and feelings on LinkedIn. I don't want to do this. I don't want to position myself that way. I just want to make phone calls and send emails and go to events, right? Because that's the old way of thinking of marketing that kind of business, was like, hey, we just go to the trade shows, we go to these, and that's how we do it. Well, nowadays it's all about thought leadership. It's about building an audience. It's about letting people know how you think and kind of where you stand. And then do they align with you? And they can do all that now via social media. So we had a big, I'll call it a project, where the goal was to build a system for them to post on LinkedIn, to be active on LinkedIn, still within their comfort zone, but understanding that, like, they do this not only for themselves, but to help promote the company that they work for.
All right, cool. Now, what were the results they achieved by making that shift?
A lot more traffic, a lot more impressions. So we tracked it based, our KPIs were engagements. So, you know, likes, comments, shares. We had impressions. We had website visits, time on the site. We had a lot of metrics we looked at. And I think, you know, the impressions on their ads were like 7,000% increases just by posting. So,
right.
You know, we did like a 30-day plan. So over 28 days, I mean, that's an insane number, right? I mean,
that's huge. That is crazy.
It's insane.
That's awesome.
So, but you know, they never posted, right? They would never utilize their channel. So now all of a sudden they're doing this. And of course the numbers are going to be insane because they've never done it.
Right.
But, you know, they're 7,000%, also seeing, you know, 70,
right?
Yeah.
To go from 7,000% times two is, it's a huge percentage gain. The numbers might not be massive.
That's the marketing spin, right? Is that, like, you just don't give all the facts, right? But no, and some people were doing a normal, you know, 1,000 or so impressions, you know, but overall, the growth was insane for them. And then they saw the value of how it translated into followers on their company on LinkedIn, and then new website visitors, forms were filled out. So they saw the full scope. And the cool thing about it to me was one of the people there was adamantly not going to do this. They were just like, no way. Like, this is stupid. Mm-hmm. Not doing it. Well, they end up giving in and doing like two posts a week when everyone else was doing four or five, right? And by the end of it, he was the most impressive writer I've ever seen. And I was like, you were born to do this. Like, it was just, and he was like, I love it. And he was like, I write about what I want to write about. I'm like, that's the whole point. You know, like, we create a guide for you to, like, you know, just get you started, get some ideas flowing, but you're going to find your own voice. And he did. And it's like, it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
That's awesome. That's is there an inverse of that?
Yeah, there was the other ones.
So is there an inverse of that same scenario where you've taken a company, a mature company, to get into a younger audience? Have you taken a young audience to go to a mature company, into a mature audience? And what's the difference that you've had to go there?
That is a great question. I'm trying to think of an example there.
Hard hitting blue collar BS. We are.
Yeah. So,
a startup plumber. Because you like working with startup organizations and providing them opportunity to be successful, and some of those folks, I gotta imagine, have had targeted it in a older audience in some way, shape, or form for some of them for disposable income and things like that. So how have you made that transition for them to reach old guys like myself? Yeah.
So I think a great example is a company that we did events for, and how are they going to engage? Cause a lot of their buyers are an older audience. Actually it's a show every 2 years. It's a huge show. And how are we going to engage not only them, but like just create a footprint in this place where we're one of 10,000, you know, it's one of the largest trade shows in the whole world. And so, also close to the manufacturing realm, of course, got that one. But the idea behind it was like, how are we going to engage with them and have something that's going to be like, they're going to want to come to our booth. They're going to want to do some things, because it's all about collecting that data, meeting with them, talking with those buyers at a different generation. So, what we actually did was we created a boxing game where the older guys and the younger guys were together, because, you know, that's how these mining companies work. And so what we were able to do was
really
invent mining. This space where it was like a competition where we brought out, again, the blue collar of the old guys saying, well, I'm still stronger than you, versus the, you know, so it was just this created this dynamic that was kind of cool that gathered crowds around us, which allowed us then to engage with people as they were waiting in line to punch the boxing game.
Cool. Very cool.
That's awesome.
Talk to me about this hat project you got going on.
Hats for the house. So
explain to our audience and to Steve, because it's a pretty cool thing that you're doing. And I wish they weren't all flat brim, though. That's all.
They're not going to be. I actually changed it last minute for you and I. So I'll give you the...
all right.
So the idea started with, like, I like to put my money where my mouth is, and I always tell clients, you got to find a way to marry your passions and, you know, what you do that you've got success now. And then, like, you know, your company and you marketing yourself. And so, like, I kind of was like, okay, this year, a goal for me was like, I want to give away $50,000 to charities that I'm passionate about. And I'm also going to prove to my clients that radio can work, that, you know, doing all these different things can work. And so the idea is every month I'm going to design a hat, just a random hat. And because I'm a hat guy, I wear one every day. A guy at the radio station, a buddy of mine, Josh, he is also a hat guy. And I said, hey, let's design this. And we're going to just do 30 of them every month. And then we're going to sell them. And then proceeds are all going to the Ronald McDonald House charities of Eastern Wisconsin. And that way, it allows me then to have a package when they buy their hat. I'm going to send them a really nice package. And it's got I'll actually spill the beans on what it is, because it's really funny. So it's a plastic hand, and it's holding a card that says "Need a hand with your marketing," and it's got just my information on, like, what I do, and then also in the box is a thank you card from the Ronald McDonald House Charities, and then it's got, of course, then their hat in there. So it's a nice little care package that's very branded, so they understand, like, wow, this guy really understands how to tie marketing in with a cause and kind of, like, get his name out there without being, like, overly douchey, I guess.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. When I saw the first hat,
right.
And I like different colors. I like bright things. And I saw the first, I'm like, the pink hat. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. Oh, it's a flat brim. Damn it.
I'm not a flat brim guy myself. And so that's why, but this guy, you know, I'm working with Josh. He taught me about how they're, you know, they match their shirts to these flat brim hats. And again, so it's a younger generation than me. So I don't
me too.
Get it. Yeah. Right. So after the first, you know,
it just looks stupid.
Not a fan.
You basically have the right face for it. I don't have the right face for flat brim.
I have a fat face, so it's not going to work for me either. So yeah, but we flipped it up a little bit. So the hats, I'm still doing flat brims for all of them, but I'm also having a curved hat version for a couple ones. So I actually invest a little bit more money into the campaign so people have an opportunity to do that. And I'm also getting some shirts designed for a couple of the hats. So as a free add-on, because again, my goal is just to create a really cool experience and have a way to give back to communities that mean a lot to me.
Very cool.
That's
I'm
awesome.
Super excited for what you're doing with that. I'm very excited.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
I will probably acquire one or two of them if they're not, because I'm like, oh, this is really cool and it's different and it's unique and there's only 30 of them. So yeah. You go to an event and you go, where'd you get that? Well, here's what it is. And I supported this and it came from this guy and all the other things. Yeah. It's a great story to be able to support people on.
Awesome. Yeah, I've got I've got a flag one coming. I won't tell you what it is, but it's a curved brim, a normal hat, as I call them. You'll love the design. I've got two or three really cool ones.
Can we pre-sale that?
Well, then don't be gone. That's not. Well, I'll maybe. We'll think about it. Depends when this gets released, I guess.
That's awesome. So, what advice would you have for anybody that's kind of hesitant in, you know, doing anything different from the standard marketing techniques that they've always done? Specifically, let's talk specifics to the blue collar space.
You know, in general, it's just about, you should know what's right, and everyone knows what's right, right? But like, they're always following the lead of the person in front of them, their boss or their manager, whoever that may be. And if you're in an environment where you can't be yourself, you're not going to grow. And so to me, it's all about the environment that you're in. If you're not able to learn, if you're not able to grow and do all those things, you're probably in a bad spot.
Right.
And I know I was, and I just speak from experience on that. But to me, that's what life's all about, just learning, right? Whether it's relationships or whether it's family, getting a dog, doing this, like it's all about like learning from the good and the bad and doing more of the things that you want to do. And so, yeah, that's all I can say about, you know, just get in the right spot.
Right.
I was just on a podcast with a friend of mine. She does homeschools. Her business is called Skillibration. They do homeschooling and online language teaching. And she asked me the question of what kids can really focus on to be part of the trades. And I'm like, well, they need to focus on math and not so much the number crunching, but the spatial awareness. And I also told her they need to also work on their auditory skills, just paying attention and listening to things, because shit goes bad and it makes a noise. It's going to make a noise before it goes bad. And it can tell you and it can save you and it can keep you out of danger and out of harm's way. And she looked at me like, really? I'm like, yeah, really? Because everybody's heads are straight down and nobody's paying attention to anything around them. And it's like, okay.
So yeah, the thing that comes in like, oh, sorry. I think it comes into like the passion part. Like I do a lot of coaching for startups and small businesses. And it's just like, why are you doing this? Why are you taking on this company or this idea of like you're owning your own business? And I'm like, if you're chasing money, you're doing it wrong. If you're chasing a passion, it's the right call 100% of the time, because if you're passionate about it, you're going to listen. You're going to want to grow. You're going to want to do this. And money comes then, right? I mean, that's the part. And same thing with a career. If you're passionate about making things and building things, like chase that. Like don't chase like, oh, I can make $80 an hour doing this. It's like, that's not what it's about. And that's going to make your life based on the wrong thing. And so that's, you know, it's all about passion for me.
Well, and that $80 an hour, if they're doing it for that reason, they're not going to last very long in that role.
Because
the owner's got a different level of expectation of what that number should bring with quality, with performance, with skill, it's wisdom, etc.
Yeah, totally.
And if you're just punching in, punching out, it's not going to work out well for both sides.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Totally agree. That's one thing I hope to teach my kids when they get old enough. I've got four girls that are between 4 and 9 right now. And, you know, how I'm going to have those conversations. Or, yeah, I know. And you should see my wife. It's it's not going to end well for me when I
please tell me the dog's a male dog. Is it a male dog? Yeah, a male dog.
We just got a puppy about a week ago. And no, of course, the only one available was a female. So, yeah. You know, I wanted to be surrounded by beautiful women. That awesome. Was my wish when I was younger, but it was they misinterpreted what I meant by that. So, so you know, what, yeah, whatever. But no, my hope for my kids is that I can teach them and show them what it's like to follow their passion versus chasing a paycheck or chasing, you know, a job. And that's my hope as a dad, and my hope for the next generation is like, hey, be passionate, chase that.
So interesting thought, right? Because you got four girls all hit that Gen Alpha range of that beyond Gen Z coming into the workforce at some point. How are you seeing education differ for their ability to go chase that passion, to be structured or unstructured or whatever it might be? What are you seeing in the educational world that may be supporting a better outcome for the workforce going forward?
Well, I'm fearful that they won't have the communication skills, the interpersonal communication skills that previous generations had. They're going to be relying heavily on technology, doing training online, doing things like that where there's no real person interaction. That's a gap that I'm worried about for the whole generation. So my hope is that they can figure out how to communicate, how to be good humans, how to like understand different personality dynamics and how to work with people that think differently than them. I think that's the biggest opportunity that generation or challenge, I guess, that they're going to face.
Yeah. Yeah. My daughters are a little older than yours, not by much. So I have a 12 and a 15-year-old and technology, like as soon as they got cell phones, and they didn't get cell phones until we just gave our 12-year-old one. So the whole thing with the tech side and the communication side is huge, because what would they rather do? They're not calling their friends. They're texting their friends. And when their friends are sitting next to them, what are they doing? They're texting them. They're not putting the phones down and having a conversation. It just drives me nuts. And it's like, what are you people doing? So communication. Yes, totally.
And how they think they make money, right? Because the generation now, they're like, oh, these TikTokers are making money just talking on their phones, right? Versus using their hands and creating stuff. And it's just like, they're not developing the skills in any way, shape or form. And oh, I'll just be an idiot and film myself.
Right.
As the past premier guy.
Damn it. That was 20 years ago. It was a stepping stone. That's the important part. It was a stepping
You were a trendsetter. It was,
yeah. Touché, sir.
Touché. Wow, that was good right there. That teed him up. He was just waiting. He was watching the softball come flying in.
Where's this going to go?
Got his ass. Yeah.
So Nick, talk a little bit more about that startup world, because we our audience tends to be the younger side, and some folks that might be wanting to start up their own entity, own things. Talk about maybe what hurdles and for maybe one or two things that anybody that's looking to start their own business that they should or must do to lay some foundation. What are the two things you tell them to do?
Yeah. So the first main thing is why are you doing this? Like, again, that's a passion question, right? It's like what made you want to do this? Was it a struggle early on, or was it just a thing that motivated you? What was that? And then the other thing is, how are you going to be unique? Most companies can't answer that question. They'll be like, oh, we have transparent communication. We do this really well. It's like, that doesn't make you unique. That makes you like everybody else. And so, you know, every company, whether they're big or small, needs to say, here are 3 to 4 reasons why I'm completely different and why I address a challenge that you have in your life. And so that's one of the first things I work with, whether I'm coaching or whether I'm doing, you know, marketing consulting, is like, let's talk about your USP, unique selling proposition. And if you don't have one, let's build one, right? And building one's kind of fun, because all you're basically doing is looking at your audience and saying, okay, what motivates them to want to buy a product or a service like yours? What challenges do they have in their life or at their job? And then what things do they all have in common with each other? And then you can build something, right? Like build a new thing of technology, build a new thing. Like the easiest example I can give everyone, and both of you should know this. If I said the word Midwest Express, what's the first word that pops into your mind?
Well, out of business, and chocolate chip cookies would be the second thing.
Chocolate chip cookies, right? The stupidest thing in the world sets them apart from other airlines in the fact they gave a stupid warm chocolate chip cookie at the end of a flight. And that is a unique selling proposition in sorts, because some people were like, I just love going there because I get a cookie. They could buy one cheap or do a lot of things, but like it's as simple as that, but it has to relate and resonate with your ideal perfect customer. And so those are like some of the building blocks of any successful business are just, you know, the passion part of it and then the ability to define yourself and how you're different.
Cool. And when people want to get your energy and your passion part of that, how do people find you? Where do they get you? Where do they, how do they connect with you?
You got a Google search, pass me a beer guy. No, I'm just kidding. my website's just my name, nickpackard.com. I also have a site that I actually give away a lot of my free tools. It's nickisatool.com. That actually takes you to a site where I literally share everything that I make for clients as far as templates, where you can go in and download it for free. Because again, I'm all about building up the community around me. And if I can inspire someone to build something better than me, we all get raised by it. And so, yeah, so either nickpackard.com or nickisatool.com. Those are great ways to get hold of me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's awesome.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Nickisatool.com. Yeah. Perfect.
You're lucky I didn't share the pickle farts story with you, because that's a whole other one.
You know what? I actually want to hear. I saw that post. And so, yeah, we've got a few minutes left. What is the pickle? Go with the pickle mark.
Go for it.
All right. So when COVID hit March 2020, all my clients called me within 2 days and said, Nick, we got to hit the pause button. So I, you know, as a solopreneur, I lost all my clients in 1 day, had no income, had kids, had craziness, and I didn't know what to do. So I said, hey, I'm going to just figure it out. So I bought domains like twerkingduck.com, picklefarts.com, unicorn burps, like just randomly weird domains. And I put them on very large yard signs. And I bought like 50 yard signs, and I had friends and family put them up in their yards. And then the website domains led to my website to say, hey, I gotcha. You know, I intrigued you. Now you're at my site. This is what I do. I'm a crazy marketing guy. And so that led to getting new clients like almost immediately, because they're like, right. Hey, you know, like we need a guy like you that thinks outside the box. So then the next year I said, okay, how am I going to one up this? Because it was kind of a cool thing. So the most popular one of the signs was picklefarts.com. So I had a designed cartoon pickle farting, and I put it on these golf balls. I bought hundreds of them, and I'd go to golf outings with business owners, decision makers, and I would drop them throughout the whole course in the cup, on the tee box, whatever else, with just the picklefarts.com guy. And then I would film them picking up the brand new ball and then going to their cart and looking up what the hell picklefarts.com was. And here it was me with all these crazy golf puns of like, you know, you want to take a mulligan on your marketing and blah, blah, blah. And that led to afterwards in the clubhouse, you know, in the dinner portion of the events being like, hey, did you guys get one of those golf balls? And they're like, yeah, like that was kind of clever. And I was like, that was me. And they were like, oh, my God. So that led to more work. And then the third year I did this, I did radio ads where I only made jingles that just used the words picklefarts.com only. And I bought a bunch of radio time. And just to prove a point of like, first of all, radio works. And second of all, you know, like you got to think outside the box. So literally I had pickle fart jingles, and people would message me and they'd be like, I knew what this was, but I still had to know, and screw you for making me come to your website.
Oh, so can we get a couple of those jingles so we can throw them in the link in the show notes just for fun, just so people can listen to this?
They're absolutely ridiculous. I paid $15 on Fiverr to get these done, and they are so funny. You're going to die. They're great.
Yeah, I'd love to be able to put one of those. Put a couple of those links into the show notes so we can have people laugh hysterically about what's going on here.
Yeah, what an idiot I am. I know.
No,
but it's awesome because it's so different. It's so catchy.
but it's thinking outside the box of how we can do things that are not traditional, but yet drive traffic to the things that matter most. That's awesome.
And the fun thing is with the generational differences is that the young people are like, that's really funny and cool. And the older generations are like, well, this is just stupid, but like, I got to see what this idiot is doing. You know, so either way, you're capturing multiple people. It doesn't matter.
Right.
So based on this conversation, there's no doubt in my mind you're millennial, but that's a whole different conversation. There's no doubt in my mind about that. I don't think you're crossing over into that. You can think you can, but that's okay. I'm going to say definitely over on the younger side of that side. Nick, thank you so much for being here today, sharing your stories, your wisdom, your passion, your energy, and your humor. We can't thank you enough for being here.
No, thank you guys both. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, Dave.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.